The show you're about to hear is a member of the Plains Talkers Podcast Network. To find out more, go to PlainsTalkersPodcast.com. Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, a show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my, hey, it's almost NFL season soon, and maybe the Carolina Panthers have a shot, co-host Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you, sir?
Football starting soon?
Yeah, really? Dude, it's weird, Labor Day.
I know.
And you know, again, I'm not in any freaking fantasy league this year, and I'm kind of sad about it, but
I got one this year.
Oh, you do? Good, good, yeah. Good.
My old family league that ran every year up until my mom passed is starting back up again.
Oh, sweet! Do they need like a non-family member?
I think they're full up. It's a small league, so yeah.
All right. Well, before we get going tonight, we want to remind you that this episode and every episode of the Plains Talkers Podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone, Kerwin's wants to remind you they provide a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. With locations in both Catskill, New York, and now on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Gallery in Poughkeepsie, New York, Kerwin's is 100% the absolute best place to go in gaming. Now, if you can't get to their stores in upstate New York, you can always reach them online. They have a great web store. It's KGS Online. That stands for Kerwin's Game Store or KiteGoSamuelOnline.com. And don't forget, you get a 5% off your online order when you use the promo code PlainsTalkers at checkout. We also want to remind you that we want to recognize our rare level patrons. Steve, Spencer, Chiva Tank, Nurse Gamer VJ, Bell, Josh, Jonathan, George, David, Anthony, and Dragon D's Nuts. Ugh. We also want to go ahead and take a second to shout out our Mythic Rare patrons, Jake, Jonathan, and Imagine Dragon the Sea Cross Your Face. Again, I'm loving life right now. And let's not forget our producer-level patrons, Jamie and Johnny. Listen, these guys have helped out the show immensely. I had a good conversation with Jamie. He's going to start putting together some Commander stuff as well. I talked to him, might have been Wednesday, or it might have been before Monday last week. I'm not sure. But we had a pretty good conversation, you know, on Discord for a little bit while I was driving home. He has some pretty cool ideas. You know, he's going to talk about putting some stuff together for, like, countdown videos and stuff like that. You know what? These guys help out in so many ways. What they really do get, though, one of the main things is that patrons get the chance to play with us on our Wednesday Commander Craft podcast. We have one seat. Well, it's weird. VJ said he wants to play game two if there's one. So he's probably going to be in for game two, which means I could take a patron and a non-patron for game one. So if you're listening to this and you want to play, let us know right away. We'd love to have you for Wednesday night. It is Nemesis game one, where we're playing your friend and mine, Mr. Equipment himself, Sir Gwen. He's right here. He's ready for you.
She.
You know what? Don't misgender my friend. You know what? My version of Sir Gwen.
Look at the art.
listen, you don't know. Might not be a girl. Might not be.
Read the flavor text. I'm pretty sure it says she.
Squires throughout the realm aspire to her mix of panache and martial prowess. Well, you know what? You know, fuck off. And we have the explicit early tonight. No. But seriously, yeah, it's going to be Nemesis. So it's Dogpile on Will, everybody's favorite game. So would love to have you play with us. That's Wednesday night. We roll at 7 p.m. We also are proud to be the flagship podcast for the Plains Talker Network of Podcasts. Our sister show, Cantrip Cartel, is launched. They are on Anchor at anchor.fm/Cantrip Cartel. They put up a new episode last week detailing all the news. And let me tell you, their show is very polished and very well done. You definitely should listen to it. Got a lovely personal note from Jake today just thanking us for, you know, getting them launched good. Again, anchor.fm/Cantrip Cartel. And they're on most podcatchers except for Apple. So Hit them up on our Discord. We do have an area for them if you want to find out more. And there it's at discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. Finally, again, we want to remind you guys about the survey. Please go to survey.planestalkerspodcast.com. Let us know what you think of the show and ways we can improve. This is really important to us. Things that we're going to probably go over during our patron call, which we're already at having a patron call in September, Aramis.
It's crazy.
I know, right? Where the hell did summer go? So
I don't know where March went. I don't know what you're talking about.
So, you know, that's pretty much all the announcements. We're now on Untap, and I am untapping a wonderful beer called, Better Off Dead, man. Everybody wants some. This is freaking great. It's really good, though. It's a nice double IPA, and it's really tasty. So, Aramis, how the hell are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I mean, I don't get the reference for the beer, but I'm doing good.
You got to watch Better Off Dead, man. It's one of the best movies ever.
I've never actually even heard of it.
It's John Cusack, early 80s.
That's probably why.
You know what? Here's the thing. It's a very strange 80s comedy movie. It really is. But it's quotable as hell. At one point, there's this little kid who he shows up and he's like, and he's the paper boy. He's like, oh, hey, Billy, how are you? And he's like, 2 weeks, 20 papers. That's $2. And he says dollars, like he's very Canadian. And all of a sudden now, this newspaper boy chases him pretty much through the entire movie. Like, he'll be doing something else, and all of a sudden, he's on a mountain, and the paper boy shows up with skis on the bottom of his bike. He's like, I want my $2! It's stupid funny, and for some reason, I love it. But there's a scene in the movie where he imagines these hamburgers coming to life, and they start playing Van Halen's Everybody Wants Some. Okay. And so the minute I saw it, I'm like, I must have this beer. And it's very tasty. So, but how was your weekend, sir? How the hell are you?
The weekend was good. We walked around one of the local towns. They had like a townwide garage sale. Just, you know, looked around for some deals. Didn't find much. I guess it's not what it used to be, but it was a nice day out. And then on Sunday, we were out in Berkshire County in Massachusetts. We were at the Berkshire Museum.
Oh.
With the little guy. So got to see some little aquarium that they have in the basement, some nice displays, nice exhibits. It was very nice. I recommend it. But pretty chill overall for the weekend. Not a lot of magic. Watched The Walking Dead. On Friday night, we watched Captain Marvel because we're introducing the little guy to the Marvel movies. So we're doing it in chronological order. So
ooh, couple interesting weeks ago,
A couple weeks ago, we watched Captain America. And on Friday, we watched Captain Marvel. The next one we're watching is Iron Man.
Yeah. Oh, wow, that's pretty cool. That's an interesting way to watch it. I hear it changes kind of things on the way you watch it like that. So
yeah, it's kind of cool. So he's really enjoyed the first two movies so far, and he's got a long way to go, and I still have to catch up. And I've been trying real hard, and it's getting a lot more difficult to do it, so I might have to bite the bullet and do it. I've been holding off. I haven't seen the second Spider-Man movie yet.
Oh, you're gonna have to soon.
And I know, because the trailer for the new one's come out, and it's like, it's all over YouTube, it's all over the internet, and I'm like, son of a bitch, I can't avoid this thing.
Yeah, and here's the thing,
spoilers everywhere.
Yeah, and there's spoilers in the trailer for the second movie. You have to watch the second movie.
Yeah, I know. So it's like I have to watch the second movie, and then also I have to watch WandaVision, I have to watch, you know, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and then the other movie that just came out,
Loki, and then What If. Here's the thing, you can watch What If out of order, because it's not really.
Yeah, that's like a side. I get it, a side.
And thing, I love it, by the way. I'm loving What If. In fact, I think that's going to start being my ride home. I think I'm going to catch up. I might record one tomorrow, catching up the last three, and then every week putting it out, you know, for the ride home. But
yeah. So I got some catching up to do, but you know, I'm up to the task. I love the Marvel movies. They've done a fantastic job telling the stories. So yeah, that's been my weekend.
Yeah, well, it's cool. We got, first of all, I did play a lot of Magic this weekend. I've been wanting to test and tune up the Sliver deck a little bit, and then I've also been wanting to test play the Sir Gwen deck, so that, because really the first time I really played it was Wednesday night, so I hadn't had really a chance to really get into the nuts and bolts and how things work and timings and stuff. So I've been on Spell Table, and I've been going into pickup games where I just, you know, I join somebody else's game and they're looking for a third or a fourth, and I pop in, and the deck has been remarkably pretty good comparatively. I mean, some of these guys are playing some pretty bonkers ass shit, And it's kind of refreshing to see, you know, other decks and how they do it. One guy was playing an Atraxa deck, and I smoked him. Like, I smoked him hard. He could not get anything going. Yeah, I had a good time there. And then Saturday we went and saw live band, like live music. Our buddy Mike, he had an outdoor gig. And obviously when the sky opened, they moved it inside. But we went and saw our buddy Mike play, and it was kind of cool. We were supposed to see him play in two bands, and his only one band got to play. It was kind of cool, but it was also sucky in that the sound was bad. And I understand that I'm a music snob, but I'm also kind of a sound guy snob. And yeah, like the sound guy had the sound in the room mixed way too high. We couldn't talk. You couldn't hear. My ears rung for like a day. And then Sunday after Nick's dad got married, I took him back up to Oswego. And I actually, that one I posted. I'm like, I met my cousin Steve for breakfast. Shout out Steve. Because he was up here in Lake George and they wanted to get together. So we did. And then I went and picked up the boy. And we drove all the way to Oswego. I dropped him off. Well, we had Bev's. Bev's is this ice cream place if you're ever in Oswego. And then I came home. So 5 hours just straight driving. And then I died. So that was... You know, and now we're here now. So, yeah, but it was kind of just a wall-to-wall weekend. I'm kind of looking forward to this weekend kind of being a little bit more low-key. Are we going to try to get together like Friday and do some of the... We've got 4 videos set up.
It's been tough. My weekends have been pretty full with family stuff, especially with the little guy going back to school next week.
Okay.
I will let you know, but I can't commit to anything right now.
We're going next week though, right? Because they're doing new previews on Thursday, so I imagine we're going to go live on Labor Day.
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, probably.
Worst case scenario, Tuesday, so I could tell people we're going live Monday or Tuesday next week.
Yeah, it's probably going to be Monday.
Yeah, okay, cool.
But if something weird comes up, I'll let you know. But it should be fine.
Yeah, we've got nothing planned. I'm so looking forward to a nice 3-day weekend. So that's our kind of our untap phase, our upkeep here. Let's kind of go through with what we're going to be talking about tonight. So we are obviously, since we're a standard focused podcast, we will touch on standard. Not a lot changed. Not a lot to talk about. It's pretty much same as it ever was. It's 2 weeks before rotation. There's 3 weeks before rotation. What do you want here, folks? And then we're going to go through, and we're going to spend a healthy portion of today's show going through the Magic the Gathering Showcase 2021, basically the roadmap for the next year. They had a big stream on it. I watched a lot of it. I didn't watch all of it.
I watched all of it.
Yeah, and there was some, you know, there's some really cool stuff coming. There's some not so cool stuff coming. but
depending on what you're into.
Yeah. We do kind of have a combat in that I kind of want to talk about Jumpstart and Historic. And have you been able to play that at all?
Yeah, I played a few.
Okay. So we've got some, cause I got some questions on that. And then finally main two, we'll talk about the arena update, 100 card brawl, how we think that's going. We'll update you on where we are in the winner box. It's still going on. One set there had some problems getting their game played this week. So, but it looks like we're down to our final, like, five. Basically, we're one guy has to play to get into the final four. We're down to our final four, final three. Hey, winner of this plays Jay Groh, who's waiting for the winner for the final. So Jay Groh's in the final. And then we'll talk a little bit about Mark Rosewater's Tumblr today, where he kind of talked about Midnight Hunt. So, hello, Pamela. How are you? So, but let's get right into main phase.
Main phase.
All right, main phase. So, state of standard. Standard is healthy. It's nothing's running away with the meta.
Rotate, please.
yes. Sultai Control is still living here. Now, earlier today, Demir Rokes was in top spot. So, there is some changes. The biggest thing I saw that was kind of a change and kind of cool... blue-black, not rogues, but it's like blue-black control slash tempo. Mm-hmm. Interesting deck. Just one creature. They're playing the Limerith Desert Doom. And it's pretty much like, I'm going to remove all of your stuff. You get no board state ever, and then I win. So control as control goes. So that's kind of cool stuff. Any thoughts on the state of standard, Aramis?
All I'm noticing is that if you take away the green from Sultai Control, the top three decks are all Dimir.
Great.
So, rotation, please.
Dear God,
please.
Yes.
Please rotate.
All right. Let's get into... So, last Tuesday... Yes, Greedo, I was just going to see your boss. Tell Jabba that I've got his money. Don't tika le, tika ball. Jabba da Vindigo too, Johnny. All right, I'll stop. So last Tuesday, Magic had their showcase, which is kind of, I think this is kind of a new type of broadcast. This isn't like the preview broadcast.
Oh, don't get used to it. They'll probably change it next time.
Yeah. they should change it because it was a little...
cringy?
Yeah. I mean... I like Clay, right? That's his name? Cassius, or...
Yeah, the one that on I Hate Your Deck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a cool guy, but you can tell he's... And he's an actor. He's not as bad as Jimmy? Yeah, it's Jimmy, right?
Jimmy Wong, yeah.
Yeah. He's not as bad as Jimmy as far as the, like, this is amazing, you're gonna love what we're doing with Commander, we're gonna talk about... It's like... But it was almost as bad. So I'm like sitting there going, look, this is an infomercial. Like, fucking stop it.
To me, we'll get to it, but the bit with Mark Rosewater, I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah, with the spacesuit?
Yeah, oh my God. I mean, okay, it was funny, but it was funny in the way of like, please make it stop.
It was like funny in that you don't
it's
want
to. Kind of scary funny?
Yeah, it's funny in that. In that way, it's laughing at you, but you laugh so that we're laughing with you, but no, we're still laughing. It's funny in that David Hasselhoff way, where he likes to think he's eating a cheeseburger. Yeah. He likes to think he's in on the joke, but the fact is he's not in on the joke.
He is the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... It was. I mean, there were parts of it where like they're like having this enthusiasm, and it's like, guys, you know why we're all here? Just talk about the stuff.
Yeah. Just you know what? We don't need this.
We don't really care.
This level of, I mean, I understand a few things. First of all, okay, for about a year and a half, they were doing this through screens. I get that. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's, some of it still happened through screens, but I mean, it was pretty much like. Guys working at home, they weren't there, so they weren't going to get all dressed up, because who the hell has a spacesuit in their closet?
Mm, well, Mauro probably does.
I've got Star Trek uniforms. But,
plural.
I get it, okay? I get it. But, yeah, it they could have done this in a half hour, not the full hour, in 10 minutes, or whatever the hell it turned out to be.
This was one of those could have been an email type of things. You know?
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Well, I mean, like, you know, as the parallel, this could have been an article. Like, the article they published after they put the video up.
Right.
That just basically said, hey, here's what's coming. Here's the cool bits. Da-da-da-da. You can just click on links, look at pictures, da-da-da-do. And we didn't need to see all the really, like, hammy, over-the-top, ha-ha, this is so great. We're so excited. Look at me smiling. That means I'm happy.
Right. Exactly. So, they... It was... It was a cheese fest. Was it as bad as Jimmy Wong at Kaldheim constantly saying the word metal? No.
Nothing will ever
beat that.
I like Jimmy's enthusiasm. I like that he... I mean, obviously this is scripted and that's how he's supposed to be, but I think he's genuinely a positive person. So I think this is easy for him. Other people, like, you could tell that Aaron Forsythe didn't want to be there.
No.
He was like, there was at one point where the camera panned and he started looking off to the side saying, how much more of this bullshit do I have to fucking deal with?
He's like looking at his watch going, oh, I have to be in hell at 9. Can we?
He probably had to take a dump somewhere. That's probably what it was. He's like,
Do you have a crazy drunk Uncle Mark? Because he's in the chat.
No, he was talking about Mark with being a joke like Hasselhoff.
I thought you had a crazy drunk uncle.
No. All of my uncles are dead, I think.
Jesus, Aramis, way to deflate the show. Oh no, it couldn't be my uncle. He's dead. It's like my cousin one day who I looked at. I'm like, wow, you lost a ton of weight. Looks right at me and goes, yeah, diabetes will do that.
It's like, yep, it's the cancer.
Wow. No, I did have another guy do that. Yeah, he's like, I was like, wow, you look a little tired today. And he's like, yeah, cancer does that. I'm just like, okay. And I was like 23, 24 is like my first IT job. And I'm just like, okay, you're kind of an asshole. I didn't say that because I like my job. But so we're going to kind of use the magic.wizards.com article because, I mean, there was a lot. It was drinking water from a fire hose.
Oh, my God. There's so much stuff.
A lot of what they presented. And, you know, we're going to just kind of give our thoughts on each one. So we're going to go right down the list. The Secret Lair soup out of time super drop. I kind of dig some of what they're doing. You were right about the Planeswalkers.
You know, I said that the day before it happened. Yes. And I was like, what the fuck?
And I did order it. I ordered that set.
I'm not getting any of these.
I got that because I really kind of like the... First of all, I really want another, you know... I love the Teferi, and I don't have a DAC. So yeah, I was like, you know...
He's only ever been printed a couple of times, so right. I'm not surprised.
So, and I wish it was the better Karn, but I can live without it. So
this is still a pretty good Karn.
He's a very good Karn. So I did order that one. I didn't order any of the other ones. Here's the thing. I don't think I'm going to do the arts. Even though I love Fiona, like I loved Fiona because I read Saga, mm-hmm. I didn't get it because, I Jesus, money's tight.
I mean, yeah. I liked the Johannes Voss one.
Yes, I did too.
I thought the fact that it was, you know, that the art told a story and that it was a haiku that he wrote, and that was right. The flavor text across the four cards. I mean, I thought that was very well done. It's just it doesn't speak to me personally. I think it's really cool looking though.
Right. I am 100% in agreement. I mean, I have bought a few Secret Lairs. I did buy the like it's on its way. The you know my show's this Friday. Hope you can come, Secret Lair.
Right.
So, and I think I bought the Phyrexian one.
Yeah, I mean, I got the Phyrexian Praetor one. I mean, the thing about the Secret Lairs is that these are ones you don't have to buy. None right. of these are. No. They're all optional things. Like if you want special art or special treatment, you know, or just wacky stuff in general, you can do that. And I like that aspect of it. I wish they were cheaper overall? Yeah, maybe a little, but overall, you're getting good value yeah. for what you pay. But going back. For the people, like for the five people in the Magic community who were under a rock and didn't get to see any of this stuff, we should probably explain what's in these.
Well, yeah. Well, here's the thing. Even the article doesn't really explain it. I mean,
not really.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I think there's so much to go through that is impactful. If you should look at these. It's a lot of artwork, and it does have the Planeswalkers with just text on it.
Yeah, like they were done. If like they're basically doing it, the first one they're doing three Planeswalkers as if they were printed in like alpha or beta. So it's right. really drawn out rules text that, honestly, if you have no idea what a Planeswalker was before this, this would not help you.
No. So I recommend you check that out. It's at secretlair.wizards.com. Mm-hmm. But let's keep going down the list because I mean there's just so much. They talk a little bit, then they went on to talk about Innistrad Midnight Hunt and Innistrad Crimson Vow.
Yep.
So tomorrow, September 2nd, so Thursday,
yes,
is the big reveal, noontime our time, not, you know, 9 a.m. Pacific. Mm-hmm. They're going to go through they're going to start preview season for these.
Yeah, that was one thing I was actually surprised about is that they didn't have a single preview card for the new set. I know that they were starting the preview season on Thursday, but you kind of figured they were going to toss a teaser in there, one or two, and they didn't. So it was like... I was actually kind of disappointed that there wasn't anything, but I guess they have a lot they really want to show on Thursday, so we'll have to just wait and see.
Right. So I'm very excited for that. You know, I think. Well, we'll talk a little bit. Morrow put out his preview about what's coming and stuff like that, where he kind of talks
a teaser.
Yeah. And we'll kind of try to break some of that down and think about it. But Crimson Vow or Midnight Hunt looks to be a little bit of fun. It does seem like it's going to be very, very zombie heavy from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, it's going to be. I mean, both of these sets, I think, are going to be pretty dark.
Yeah.
So, well, it's no pun intended with Midnight yeah. Hunt. Yeah. No pun intended.
The next thing they kind of went over was Magic in Storm Beyond. So, again, they are not doing any major GPs or Pro Tours.
Nor right should now. They at this point.
They're like, we're not sure how we do it safely in this COVID. I can't disagree with that.
Yeah. No. I mean, like, I think the European Union just basically said, if you're American, you're not coming over here yeah. right now.
So, store championships though are coming back this December.
That is cool.
That is cool. I will probably go to one. Unless he has us as he has us call it.
we'll have to see what happens with that. I mean, I've been to a store championship, and I think I won a store championship.
Oh wow!
That's where I got the Galta promo.
Ah. You did win at the flights. I was with you for that.
Yep. So I got a nice little Galta Primal Hunger promo. They're bringing those back with a nice little twist. So everybody who goes to the store championship promos, it's going to be, we're not sure what format it'll be, based by store. Everybody who enters is going to get a promo Arbor Elf. If you make the top eight, you're going to get a promo Collected Company. And if you win, you're going to get a promo Worm Coil Engine. But this one's going to be unique because they're actually going to etch the name of the store you were at on the Worm Coil Engine. So it's going to be a one-of-a-kind unique card. So that's actually, I think, going to hold some pretty significant value.
Well, absolutely it will. I mean, I know what they're doing. It's instead of, I kind of miss the store playmat. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand that this card is going to be probably replacing that because I haven't seen anything about a store playmat.
Yeah, no, I don't think they're doing that.
The store championship playmat was always cooler to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, you know, getting a playmat of your store championship, it's like whenever you play, that's what you're going to play with. Now, you and I would play with the Planeswalker playmats because, you know, we want people to watch our show. But, yeah, I do like the card. I like that it's going to be etched with the name. I'm pretty jones for that. Yeah, Hopefully by December, like, the world isn't on fire with COVID. That's my only thinking. It's like December, it's kind of like...
That's when things start to tend to get hairy when things get colder. But... The other thing I do like about this, actually, I wish it was a little different about it, but you have to keep in mind that if you're going to go to one of these, your store has to be a WPN premium store, and that is really hard to come by.
Right. We know of one.
We know
Kerwin's
of one.
Kerwin's Game Store in Catskill, New York.
Kerwin's Game Store is a WPN premium store. I think there's only like two in Kansas, you know? So it's like... You have to travel quite a ways to find one if you're out in, you know, in one of those areas. We're very lucky to have one, just, you know, not that far from either one of us.
I don't think
they are. I think you have to jump through a lot of hoops to get
to
that
point. Dave, let us know if you guys are one. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if he wasn't. Maybe it'd be nice if he was, but I'm not sure he's there yet. But if you look up your store, talk to your local store, see if they're WPM premium. If they are, see if maybe you can get an idea of what format they're thinking of playing, if they're thinking of doing it, because it may not be safe in your area. If it's safe and practical to do so, and you feel comfortable going and you want to win one of these cool cards, absolutely show up. You know, just take every precaution you can, and hopefully you have fun.
And that, yeah, and the other thing that they talked about on here, which we kind of touched on, maybe we touched on it before we started recording, Commander Party.
Oh my God, I can't wait for this.
The problem I have with it, I do have a problem with it. The weekend they're doing it, 30 to the 31st.
Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you guys stuck in Fupid? I mean, Jesus.
We already got the explicit tag. You can say fucking stupid. It's fine.
I know, but it just... why in the world? Okay,
yeah, why Halloween?
That is one of the absolute biggest... When you're in your 20s, that's a big party weekend. When you're in your 30s, you usually have kids. It's a big kid weekend. When you're in your 40s, you're trying to relive your 20s, so it's usually a big party weekend.
Like, I mean, I still dress up.
Yeah, I dress up. We have parties. We go to parties and shit. Like, how in the hell? And then they're going to say that, well, there's no real support for this. Well, of course not. Not on fucking Halloween. And I understand it's Innistrad. All right? I get that. I get the flavor of doing it on Halloween.
Yeah.
Do it the weekend before. Mm-hmm. Do it the 23rd.
Quick side note on Halloween. Quick tangent for that.
Sure, absolutely. Well, that's your son's birthday, right? Or your birthday?
No. It's my wife's favorite holiday.
Ah.
But you're going to love what my son is going as for Halloween this year.
Oh, dear.
Marty McFly.
Yes!
And his uncle, my brother-in-law, is going to go as Doc.
I like it.
Yeah, so that's going to be really cool. I haven't figured out what I'm going to dress up as, and my wife hasn't figured out what she's dressing up as,
Biff.
We are dressing up.
You have to do Biff. Or your wife have to do maybe George and Lorraine.
I don't know. Yeah, we got to figure that out. But he's doing Marty McFly. We found a costume for him already, and it's going to be awesome.
That's great. Yeah, that's going to be
Halloween.
Fun.
The Halloween timing. It's like, guys. I mean, it's you know, beautiful flavor, just great. But yeah, there's kind of a American holiday in the middle of that, so you're probably not going to get as much of a crowd in that demographic as you'd like. Although, so not to get too far away from what they're actually doing. Commander party, you're going to show up to your store, you're playing Commander. The point of it's not to win. The point of it is to advance the story. So there's going to be like a video screen playing a story, and at certain points, like whoever has like the most resources on the board or most of a certain thing has to like raise their hand or whatever, and they'll get something, and it advances the story. They got something really kind of cool planned, and I if I can go on the 30th and you can do the whole thing the one day and not over 2 days, I'll be like, maybe I can get away with going on the 30th, but Halloween's not going to happen.
Right. So I'm kind of the same way. It really depends on what's going on.
Yeah. This looks amazing, though. So I hope if this is a success, they do it again.
Right. Me too. I do. And because I think that will, it might be something they do periodically. I mean, they're trying to find new ways to engage, and I get that.
Krauss wants to know how one gets a Planeswalkers game, Matt.
Inked Gaming was how we did it. Or you have to be like a rare level patron over a year, and I still have to send them out, actually. give me a break, dude. It's really tough. Let's talk about Innistrad Double Feature, Pioneer Challenger decks, and Commander Collection Black.
Yes.
So, I'm not sure how I feel. All right. So this is kind of good news. This is one of the things that I thought was rather interesting, in that every podcast I've listened to, every content creator has said kind of the same thing. Pioneer is dead.
Yeah.
That it's a dead format. It's a casualty of the pandemic, and that, you know, the momentum they had built up was killed in March of 2020 because they announced it in what, December 18,
something like that. Yeah.
And so it was dead. All right. It's only playable in MTGO. They canceled the Pioneer set inside of Pioneer Remastered or whatever they're calling it, or Masters.
Yeah, and wasn't there supposed to be like Pro Tours with Pioneer and everything else? Yeah.
So I thought Pioneer was going to be dead. Well, I think they're trying to see if Pioneer can exist. Now, Kyle, what Pioneer is Modern goes all the way back to, I think, Mirrodin and forward. So we're talking 17 or 18 years. Maybe more than that.
Yeah. It's almost 20 years.
Yeah. All right, so that's how that format is. And what they did was, about a year and a half ago, they came up with this new idea called Pioneer, which is...
I think it's Return to Ravnica and Forward.
Yes, it is. Oh, wow. Yeah, dude, it's 18 years. It was 2003 was Mirrodin.
Yeah.
And so Pioneer was from Return to Ravnica Forward, which is still a very large window. Right. Because Return to Ravnica was 2008?
Not quite. I think 2005.
Hold on here.
I could be wrong.
Oh, but no. Yeah, it was released on October 5th, 2012.
There you go.
Yeah. So basically almost 10 years. And so it was meant to be, because Modern has kind of priced itself wicked out of almost everyone. If you're going to really play Modern... The decks in Modern tend to cost, because of the shot or the fetches, it's the land base, really.
Yeah, well, that is one of the things about Pioneer that's different, is that the fetches are banned.
Right. So, because most Modern decks, the number one Modern deck is like 800, 1379, so over 1,000. Interesting. I think I could build this at Temple. I might have stuff for that. That's something I should look at later. Snapcaster Mage, which, dear God, let that be the box toppers. So what they did was, they're coming up with this Pioneer Challenger decks. Mm-hmm. So they're taking, much I'm assuming, like standard Challenger decks. They're taking four staples of Pioneer.
Yep, so these are four metagame decks.
Yep, so Azorius Spirits, Orzhov Auras, Mono Red Burn, and Lotus Field combo. And they are packaging them. Now, these aren't going to be the top shelf. These are not going to have, you know, four of the most expensive cards.
I know that they said, as a quick aside, I know one of the decks, I think Lotus Field, is basically card for card.
Is it really?
Well, yeah, one of the decks
is, so
yeah, there's deck lists available. These four decks are very close approximations to the tournament level decks that you would see if you played in a Pioneer tournament. I think it's the Lotus Field. It might be Auras of Auras. It's one of those two.
Well, Zoner Spirits only has one Brazen Borrower, so I know it's, like I said, it's not.
Yeah,
they're not going too crazy.
But one of these decks is like literally one or two cards away from being just a carbon copy of the deck that you'd see in a tournament. But they're all competitive. They all have full sideboards. They're all ready to go.
Wow, it's pretty. Well, Mono Red Burn is pretty much Wizards.
Yeah, Mono Red Burn is Ramunap Red.
Yep.
But that's because, you know, all those cards are from there, basically.
The Lotus Field combo looks to be, I mean, the Lotus Field combo's coming in with four Lotus Fields, first of all.
Yeah, I think, and like, I mean, there's some really good cards in here.
Wow.
Auras of Auras has Thoughtseize in the sideboard.
You're shitting me.
Oh. It's only one copy,
right?
But it's a Thoughtseize. So there's some serious cards in there, and these are legit decks.
They're legal. Pioneer, they're coming in legal.
They're legal in Pioneer. So if you're looking to get into Pioneer, this is a beautiful jumping off point.
Yeah, I'd like to see them pull this out. I was a big fan of the idea of Modern, and I hate saying that. Pioneer. I'm a big fan. The idea of Pioneer, I was a big fan of. I still am. I said this to Professor Bonds. Okay, they're like, Friday Night Magic for them is always Modern. I'm like, well, you priced me out of it. Oh, you can come with your standard deck. Oh, sure, I can come with a standard deck, but I'm going to get rolled.
Yeah.
So, you know, Pioneer, the idea of it was, I'm still a big fan. So I'm very excited for that.
I just hope it doesn't turn into one of those situations like it was with the Brawl decks, where they printed the Brawl decks, they pushed it for like 6 months, and then it just disappeared.
That's what I'm worried is going to happen. I'm worried that Pioneer. I think Pioneer is. I'm not sure. I've got
this
a
is
bad
this
feeling.
Is them. This is them putting the panels on Pioneer.
Yeah, they're trying to see if Pioneer is gonna hold. If this sells well, then maybe they will back Pioneer a little bit more. Maybe we will get Pioneer Masters back into Arena.
Yeah, and maybe we get these decks again next year.
Yeah. So I'm hopeful for that. But the other big news on that, while they were talking about Pioneer, is Commander Collection Black. In early 2022, there'll be Challenger decks, Pioneer Challenger decks in hand. You'll be ready for Friday Night. But Commander Collection returns exclusively to game stores. They don't give a date. But no. Commander Collection Black is much like Commander Collection Green, which was a great set. What was it, $80, though?
Yeah. This one
will also be probably about $80.
It'll probably be about the same price. The value is spread out a little more evenly on this one. So there's not a crazy expensive card like Sylvan Library,
right?
But there's a lot of cards that are like $20-$25. So it adds up to be about the same in value. So in Commander Collection Black, you get a Ghoul Caller Geesa, you get an Ophiomancer with, for the first time ever, an actual printing of the snake token that she produces, because I guess that didn't exist before.
It didn't.
So you also get Phyrexian Arena, which is good.
That's really good.
Reanimate, which is really good. Toxic Deluge, which is good. You get the special art version of Sol Ring and Command Tower, which is fine. I like the Command Tower one, actually.
I'm a big fan of that printing.
Yeah, and then Liliana Heretical Healer. So all of these cards, minus the Sol Ring, Command Tower, and Token, are like $10, $15, $20, $25 cards. So you're going to get your $80 plus in value. It's not going to be quite as high as Commander Collection Green. There are some things that I think, you know, might be missing. I mean, it wouldn't hurt them to put Demonic Tutor in there, I think, at this point, because it's down to $35. But I'm not going to complain about Arena, Reanimate, Toxic Deluge. Those are all powerhouse cards in Commander.
Right. So
this is good. I'm definitely planning on picking one of these up.
I'm taking it, too. I'm looking forward to that. I will probably get one, because I love the green. And so this is looking pretty good. The next thing they kind of talked about, in this one, this is where I started to be like, okay, this is a money grab.
Like this, though.
I don't, and I'll tell you why. But Innistrad double feature.
You got to do it in your 50s movies voice.
Innistrad double feature. That was a 50s movie, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Now it's got to be like this, see? It's the Innistrad double feature, see?
Got to be a little bit more nasally when you're talking about it.
It combines select cards from two separate sets. Innistrad Midnight Hunt and Innistrad Crimson Vow into one unique draft experience featuring special art treatment on every card. That part I dig. I get it. And if they're going to make them all like black and white movie posters, absolutely.
I think it's going to be all like 1950s monster movie type thing. I think that's fucking amazing.
Well, the problem I have with it, and I'm just going to be honest, is that, all right, Innistrad, all right, stores, back when blocks were happening, like my store that was here, it's no longer here, Guardian Games, they would constantly do drafts where they're like, when Hours came out, they're like, okay, we're going to do a draft this week of three of Amonkhet, three of Hours. You know, and you drafted that way. Like, stores are going to do that if the sets line up. I think stores will do that naturally. You know, making a separate product, you know, it's kind of, now, granted, this has got really great art and stuff, but this is also art they could have put in as, you know, box toppers or, you know, bonus cards in the collector sets. You know, like, I don't think they needed to do an entire product.
Well, I think what they're doing is they're sort of, because we're not in blocks and because these are two sets telling a story, I think this is their way of saying, they want to have it the old block style format.
Well, I think we're moving to blocks.
I don't think we are. I don't think we are. I think those are still gone. But I think this is just it's. I like the way they're doing it because it still means that each Midnight Hunt and Crimson Power are still going to have their own special treatments,
right?
For the collector boosters or what have you, and then this is just like another spin on that, and it's something that they probably didn't think they could get away with each individual set because then they'd be doing it twice.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they're like, well, we wanted to do this. This is the perfect place to do it. But because it's two sets, it doesn't make sense to do it twice. So we want to do it once. And I think what they're doing is taking, you know, basically the best parts of both of those sets and putting them together so you're not opening junk.
Let's not say it's the best parts. I have a feeling it's not the best parts.
Normally when they do these types of sets, like it's like a remaster, like Timespell Remastered, Kaladesh Remastered, Amonkhet Remastered, Tempest Remastered, they normally do a really good job. If draft is what they're looking at, they do a very good job of curating the set and making it a very good experience. They're very good at doing that. Because basically, that's think true. About it, it's like an Innistrad mini cube. Okay. So there's not going to be as much, you know, flaming garbage in this as there would be in a regular draft set where you're picking a card and you're going, this is horrible. Why would I play this in anything? Right. There's always going to be something useful.
Well, we'll see how that looks. I mean, I'm liking the black and white cards and stuff. I mean, it's the lands are black and white. I still think that's fantastic.
Yeah, this is gonna. I want to see how they pull this off, but this looks pretty cool. I'm looking forward to this.
So that's kind of like the ancillary. Not all of the ancillary. There's still more to come after this.
Yeah.
But then this article kind of goes into the 2022 releases, which is really what we're here for.
Meat and potatoes.
This is what I mean. It feels kind of blockish towards the end of the year, Q3 and Q4. But, you know, first of all, we were pretty right on that. I'm going to give us a... We hit 2 out of 4 on that.
I don't think anybody was really super surprised because the trademarks for both of these leaked pretty early.
Right. Don't get me wrong. So part of me still thinks, like, the Brothers War. I'm like... Watch, that's actually a Phyrexian set. They're going to be like,
it kind of is, but it's not the way that you think.
Right. So they have four sets, and I do like this. They're not adding an additional. They're changing how they release in that there's going to be a longer delay in the summer next year between, you know, set two and set three, you know, to rotation. There's going to be a longer break.
Dominaria United, I believe, is rotation, which it would have normally been the Brothers War. So we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves a little bit.
Right. So actually, it wouldn't have been. It would have been Dominaria United. But anyway, so obviously the first two sets of this new standard season is going to be, you know, Crimson Vow and Midnight Hunt. Yeah, Midnight Hunt. Okay, so... Yeah. And what they did was they moved basically Innistrad Midnight Crimson Vow. They moved it to this year as opposed to when it would come out next year in January.
It would have been the January set. Now they've moved it to, I think, November.
Right. And so Kamigawa is, which is exciting. I'm very excited for this. So after Crimson Vow in 2022, The first thing that's going to come out in quarter one is Kamigawa.
Neon Dynasty, yeah.
So basically cyberpunk.
Yep.
Magic cyberpunk. I am not sure how I feel about that. On one hand, I like it. And on the other hand, I'm like, but Kamigawa was such a interesting flavor. And it had such, you know, that throwing cyberpunk and calling it Kamigawa, like, there's still so much you could have done with Kamigawa.
Well, to explain what they're doing, Kamigawa Neon Dynasty takes place, I think, 2,000 years after the events of the first three sets of Kamigawa.
Right.
And Mark Rosewater tweeted out or put in his Tumblr or something. He put something on his social media basically saying, listen, we hear what people are saying already about this set, and we know people wanted to go back to Kamigawa because they liked, you know, XYZ about this set.
Right.
And they're like, we hear you. Trust us. So I have a feeling. I mean, and obviously we could be wrong.
Okay.
But I have a feeling that they're going to do the first three sets justice as far as keeping the flavor of Kamigawa alive, but giving it the modern cyberpunk sort of spin on it. So there's still going to be ninjas. There's probably still going to be Kami floating around. I don't know if we're going to get arcane stuff back. I don't know if we're going to get the Kuberas and things like that back. But I imagine Bushido is coming back.
Right.
I'm interested to see how they're going to pull this off. I don't think they would put this set out if they didn't think they could pull it off.
I don't disagree. It's one of those things like I would have liked to have seen.
It's definitely a divergence from what they've been doing. Right. You know, this is not the typical swords and sorcery.
Well, these first two sets of next year are both the same way, because then, you know, Q2, yeah. Streets of New Campana.
Yeah.
Which they said it's basically like their, like, organized crime.
This is like Chicago, LA in the 20s. I mean, they got Ob Nixilis in a pinstripe suit.
Yeah, it's built by angels, but now run by three color demon crime families.
Yeah, which I'm thinking is going to be Wedges.
Yep, and that's what
we're
going to
get. Not Wedges, but not Shards. So I think we're going to get the ally color Triumphs in this.
Yep.
I got to say, I love the font of the logo. I think it looks fantastic. I love that font from like the 20s, that really like epic, like, I don't know, I don't even know what you would call it, like gothic almost. And I just, I think I'm looking forward to this set. I think this is going to be kind of cool. I always kind of liked the pinstripe suits from the 20s and that sort of aspect of like the mob bosses and stuff.
It just doesn't feel magic to me. It doesn't. You can't take, and here's the thing, I'm a mob movie guy. I'm a crime, you know, I love mob movies. I even like some of the older mob movies. Cagney and Tom something. You know, like, I've seen some of those old school, listen here, say, you know, like, I like those. Trying to do magic with it, though, is kind of like, it's going to be interesting, to say the least.
I mean, you wouldn't have really thought that something like Kaladesh would have worked, because that was like futuristic,
right?
A lot of technology, that type of thing. I mean,
that was steampunk.
It was kind of steampunky, yeah. And that's not typical magic, because when it started, it was an analog to D&D,
right?
And I think they're sort of flexing their creative muscles here, because they're right. It's a multiverse, and right. In a multiverse, different worlds are going to be at different points technologically. I'm not saying that we're going to get a Star Trek type set anytime soon, but it wouldn't surprise me at some point in the future for them to go a little bit harder.
Space opera?
to go a little harder into the sci-fi aspect of it. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Kamigawa is sci-fi.
Kamigawa's up there, but I mean, I think they can pull it off. I think if they're putting it into the main rotation of sets, I think it's something that they can do. Obviously we'll have to wait and see, but I'm curious but excited to see what they come up with. And you know, just that one piece of teaser art that they posted, it looks really cool. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how they pull this off, and I think they will.
Yeah, I'll give it time. I'm not too sure on it, but
yeah, you never know.
I'll give it a little time. The next set coming, so this will be rotation next year. So at this point, this is like this time next year we'll be talking about this. Mm-hmm. It'll rotate out, everything that's legal now, everything that's legal now. So it's basically it's Dominaria United.
Yes, going back to Dominaria.
Going back for the 30th anniversary of Magic, because it's already 30 years. Wow. Mm-hmm. So it's basically going to be old school Dominaria is what they're saying. So again, I'm sure we're going to see Sagas. I'm sure we're going to see Teferi. I'm sure we're going to see a whole bunch of crazy, awesome stuff. I'm very excited for this. Old school Magic.
Yeah, they can do whatever they want. If it's in Dominaria, yeah, I know they're going to do a good job.
Because yes,
that's where the game started. That's where that's where everything comes from. And Park Mania, yes, you can absolutely call it Cyber Gawa.
Yes, we agree wholeheartedly.
Totally, totally, can totally do that. But yeah, I'm super looking forward to Dominaria United. This is going to be a home run. I mean, especially, I don't know, they didn't say anything about it, but I wonder if they're going to try to get, if they got Richard Garfield back for this again.
That'd be interesting.
I know they had him. He was back for the first round of Dominaria. I wonder if they brought him back for this.
I'm just glad they're not doing a Magic, like, Eternal Masters set or whatever they called it, what, for 25.
Oh, Masters 25?
Yeah.
Well, they kind of are anyway, yeah, but
we'll talk about that. and then the final set for next year. So this will be in the Q4 of 2022.
Yep.
So again, they're using Crimson Vow to reshuffle their release set a little bit, which I always thought it was a bit rough that they start the year, start rotation, and you have 4 months until the next set. Like, I was like, that's insane. It's like, all you have is 5 sets to build Standard around. We figured out Standard by then. So, very, very cool with that. And what they're doing, this one is the one I'm most curious about, because it seems the most outside of what we've done. Because what they're doing is, it's going to be the Brothers War. And it's mm-hmm. supposed to tell the story of how Urza and Mishra, the battle that started all of Magic the Gathering.
Yep.
That led
way
them
back.
Yeah. So they set the motion, the future of the plane of the multiverse itself. So it's going to still be in Dominaria, which is what I was saying too. It was like, it feels kind of blockish.
It's not though, because Dominaria United is going to take place present day. This takes place thousands of years ago. This is sort of like how when they did Urza Saga, it was going all the way back.
Yeah,
to pretty far back in time. This will go back a little bit farther back. Like the Brothers War has been told.
Yeah,
but never in a set
this
degree.
Get Tron lands?
I wouldn't be surprised to see Tron. I wouldn't be surprised if they did like Mishra's version of Tron.
Ooh.
I would expect Phyrexians in this, but it's not going to be Vorinclex. It's not going to be Elishnorn. This is going to be Yawgmoth and things related
Nicol?
To that. Nicol Bolas was already pretty old at this point.
Yeah, but I mean, a younger Nicol. This could be how they could bring Nicol Bolas back in for a year.
He wasn't involved in the Brothers War at all.
Oh, okay.
The thing about this is that depending on how they do the storyline, we may actually see the first Urza Planeswalker card that's going to be Standard legal. Because it was right at the end of the Brothers War when he ignited his spark. And these were old walkers. These were ones that were basically gods.
Right.
People who aren't familiar with the Magic storyline, before the Planeswalkers existed as cards, when you were playing the game, you were you still are, but you were a Planeswalker. And the Planeswalkers back then could basically warp reality to their will. I mean, they could do whatever the fuck they wanted because they were damn near omnipotent. They were basically immortal. So it'll be interesting to see if they actually pull off an Urza card as a Planeswalker in this set. And this is pure speculation. We have no idea. This is a year off. This is just my tinfoil hat. I imagine that whatever they have him doing is going to be pretty fucking bonkers.
Right. I agree.
But this, I'm super looking forward to this set because we'll see, all the old locations, Koilos, we'll see the Might Stone, the Weak Stone. We might see the first introduction of Phyrexia, Yawgmoth.
This could
Taunos.
Bring us to Phyrexia.
This could bring us to Phyrexia, but that's old Phyrexia, not new Phyrexia.
So I'm very much looking forward to that. But that's kind of our roadmap for Standard. So, you know, I've heard questions about core set. The core set is going to be Streets of Nuka Penna. It's not core set. But again, I knew that when they're like, yes, there will be monocolored planeswalkers. I'm like, oh, so that's the core set. Okay, then. So let's keep going because, I mean, believe it or not, we're getting low on time. So they did go on to talk about a few other things. Now, this I'm kind of Jones for, too, because they are not doing it how they did Unsanctioned. But the next set after that, they are doing Unfinity.
Another unset. And this was the part of the presentation, if you missed it, where Mark Rosewater came out in a spacesuit, and it was just it was
cheese kind of, to the yeah. If you're lactose intolerant, make sure you've got some lactate because the level of cheese here is rough. But what he was talking about was kind of cool in that the unset. What I'm really liking this here is they're talking about draft and collector booster packs. So it's going to be a collector boost. You're going to have collector boosters for this set, which I'm not sure about, but whatevs. But full art fiction, science fiction themed full art basic lands and shock lands.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yep. So you can get your Hallowed Fountain in space.
Yes. Which I will want to get a full play set of all of them. So.
Yeah. So what they're saying is that it's basically like a huge sci-fi carnival thing. It's supposed to be, you know, it's wacky off the wall. I've never been big on the unsets,
they're fun.
They are. They're fun, but it's never been my particular jam. But I don't know. I might try to see if I can get my hands on the shocks.
Yeah, me too. Well, I'll probably get a few things. We might try to play something. So then they go on to talk about there is going to be another Commander Legends set, but this one they are going to tie to D&D. Battle for Baldur's Gate. I love this. I love this idea. I think this is how you do Commander stuff. You know, they're saying AFR was really successful. It wasn't. But, you know, they're going to kind of go a little sideways. They're going to put a whole new Commander Legends set out. I knew they were going to come with this. Commander Legends did way too much business. It's really going to depend on what they have in the set. But I mean, I could be about this.
You look at the concept art. I mean, I'm assuming there's going to be a Spelljammer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's one right there. It looks pretty awesome.
So I'm kind of digging that. Then they go on to talk about Double Masters 2022 is coming back out. So this is going to be the master set. This is going to be all reprints. I really hope they don't do the freaking VIP boosters.
If they don't do if they do regular collector boosters with this,
I'll buy a box.
So in. Yeah. I know that one of the pictures that they put up for it when they were talking about it was Ren and Six. So. Yes. I would expect, and I see they have Aminatu on there as well. So I'm guessing there are going to be a lot of these guys popping up. A lot of planeswalkers, a lot of stuff that only showed up in commanders.
I think we're going to see these in Arena. I think they did say that this set will be in Arena.
I think they might have said something along those lines. I think some of this stuff is going to show up in Arena.
I think they're moving forward. They're like, if we're printing cards, we're putting them in Arena. So
I hope that's the case, and then they start backfilling the catalog.
Yeah, so I'm all about that. Another thing they talked about, Jumpstart 2022.
Yes, please.
Yes, exactly. So it's tabletop. It's not just Jumpstart Historic Horizons. It's going to have new cards and all sorts of stuff. It's Jumpstart. What more do you want?
Yep, and it's a new card in every pack, which is going to be nice.
And then they went to Universes Beyond.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a...
I'm not going to go happy. I'm not going to go sad or mad. This is what they're doing. So
we'll talk about it. Don't you worry. So, all right. I don't want to be a negative Nelly. All right. I understand the idea of Universes Beyond. I understand about marrying Magic IP to other IPs. We've already discussed this ad nauseum. We have beat that horse to absolute death regarding... Oh, and here we go again.
Whoops.
Yeah. So, I mean, I get it. I feel it cheapens it somewhat. I think Magic is good enough without it, but I understand that this is where they want to go. That being said, you know, the Warhammer 40K Commander sets, absolutely. Sure. you know what? I kind of like the thought that the big commander releases are not tied to a set. I'm not liking the $35 to $40 that are coming out with every standard set now. They should be back at the $20. You start trying to get me to buy 12 commander packs a year. Now I've got a problem. So, you know, I kind of like the idea of Warhammer being there, and the art looks great.
Yeah, the art looks good. And the if you like 40K, if you like Warhammer, and you like Magic at the same time, I mean, they're going to have reprints with Warhammer art. So I imagine there's going to be a Sol Ring with Warhammer art, or, you know, Temple of the False God with Warhammer art, which, you know, if that's your cup of tea, great. I mean, it's one of those products that you don't have to buy. So right. if this does not interest you,
but
it's
commander
really,
decks, you're going to buy it. Everybody,
but they're commander decks. So if you're looking for commander decks, these will have those. I'm not sure I'll buy these. I might see what's in them and maybe buy particular singles off of them. I don't know.
Well, you might have to buy one for Commander Craft. We tend to play the precons.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens now, won't we?
And then the other one they talked about, the other main set that's non-secret lair, I'm holding off on that one, is Lord of the Rings, Tales of Middle-earth. And this was announced earlier. All right, I'll say this, marrying Magic and Lord of the Rings, okay.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yes, please.
That's an easy fit. Yeah, that's an easy fit.
And there isn't anybody who doesn't think so. I love the idea. The art that they showed looked really cool. I mean, don't get me wrong. There was a part of me that was like, expected Gandalf to look like Ian McKellen. And I know you can't do that.
I mean, the art, he kind of does.
But it's definitely very, very cool. I think they made one boo-boo, I'll say. Modern legal. So the Lord of the Rings set is going to be modern legal. So you're putting out a double master.
It's also going to be historic legal.
Yeah, well, that's obvious. This will be an arena.
This is coming to arena, so this will be historic legal as well. So hold on to your butts.
And I get that this is not a Modern Horizons. That this is probably going to replace Modern Horizons. I don't think they said they're putting out a Modern Horizons 3 yet.
There was a couple of years between Modern Horizons 1 and Modern Horizons 2. So look for 2023, 2024 for that.
Right. So this might take the place of a Masters or Modern Horizons. So I can get behind that in that regard. However, it's hard for me to not think that they're missing an opportunity here to, you know, I don't know that making it modern. I understand you have to make a set this large modern legal, because if you don't, no one's going to buy it. But it's still,
you just hope a scary proposition. Well, you just hope that the One Ring doesn't become a card that has to go in every deck.
Right. Unless the One Ring is a Sol Ring. But no, if the One Ring does anything other than phase out you and your board, then it's useless. But
and they wouldn't make the One Ring Sol Ring anyway, because they'd have to ban it immediately, because that card is ridiculous. It's on the level of the Power 9.
I know. So I don't know how I feel about this per se. I don't know that I like the idea that it's modern legal. I'm not sure how I feel about it being historic legal.
I think it's a huge mistake for it to being historic legal.
Yeah.
Historic's a big enough train wreck as it is.
Yes and no, but it's obvious to me. If they're going to put double masters and this into historic legal and Jumpstart 2020 or 2022, that they're moving historic to modern. Like, that's their roadmap. So I have a feeling that Double Masters is going to be very much... Obviously, Double Masters doesn't make everything modern legal. Usually with a Masters set, wherever it's legal, it's legal. But they will choose to print things that fill holes in the modern staple. And again, with Jumpstart 2020 or with Jumpstart Horizons, it's obvious that they're trying to build... from a conceptual standpoint, all of these keywords and all of these abilities that things can happen. And once you build Ninja, you can use Ninja on anything. You know, once you build Phase Out, you can use that on anything. Once you build, you know, Affinity.
They have Cascade.
So I get it. All right. Then it's a matter of just coding the cards, putting the artwork in. Once you get these you know, keywords working the way they're supposed to, it's a big step toward modern. So I can get behind that.
Yeah, that's fine if that's what their end game is.
And so and that's just it. If they came out and said, we're really trying to get Arena up to modern, which is why this is going to be an Arena and this is why this is modern legal, that also tells me that odds are good if they're trying to reshape modern, then Lord of the Rings is going to reshape modern. Because if you can get Lord of the Rings is going to be an Arena and you can find a way to make Lord of the Rings be needed in almost every modern deck, guess what? You've brought modern to Arena. You've moved modern instead of putting the cards in. You moved modern to Arena. It's an interesting idea. It's a scary idea because, again, Wizards doesn't have the best track record with this. But be that as it may, I'm a little concerned.
Oh, you're going to be more concerned about 5 seconds.
Oh, I know. The secret lairs. Yeah. Oh, for fuck's sake. Oh, the minute they did this, I think I even said that to you in text. I was like, really? Fortnite? For fuck's sake. All right. So I love that these are secret lairs. I do.
Yes.
I get that. I do. As long as these are not must-have commander cards.
They're reprints.
Yeah.
So these they did the Fortnite one the right way. Because right. They're reprints, so they will cater exclusively to people who say, well, I want to get an altar, a Fortnite altar of X card happens to be in the secret lair. I don't want to have to send my card off to somebody else to paint it, do the altar, and pay triple what I would, and I can get some extra cards on top of it.
Right.
Not that there's anything wrong with that either. There's nothing wrong with that either. Making them reprints for this, perfect. It's great. If you're not interested in Fortnite, don't have to buy it. I will not be buying it because I've never played Fortnite.
Right. I have played Fortnite, but Jesus, I'm tired of it.
So, you know, it's cool for that. I'm glad that they're doing it that way instead of like they did with The Walking Dead, where they became unique cards that, hey, if they're good, then you have to have them, which means you have to get the secret lair, and it's just a mess. This one is their reprints. I think they've learned from... Right. From The Walking Dead, not to do that unless it's available somewhere else.
Well, so, I think with Street Fighter, they are making unique cards.
They are.
And again, I do agree with them. Chun-Li being multi-kicker? Abso-fucking-lutely.
Sure. I just hope that it's not so good that you have to get one.
I think you're going to find that. Well, that's where they're like, well, if it's mechanically unique, then you'll also be able to pick up in-universe version for future releases. As part of the list in set boosters, which again is like, what the fuck? Like, if you're going to do it, do it. Don't do it in the list. Because the list is supposed to be such a curated and random thing that that's not cool.
I mean,
unless you're
going
to put the list in every set booster.
Well, the list is in every set booster.
No, it isn't. The list card is not in every set booster. List cards are only in some.
So you mean guarantee a list card in every booster.
Yeah, okay. unless you're going to guarantee a list card so that... Then you got me, and I'm on board. But if you're going to keep doing this whole, like, a list card comes in once every six, then no, fuck off.
And honestly, that makes a lot of sense, because the list is so big to begin with that it honestly should be in every set booster.
I agree.
But I will say I do like what they're doing, because it's the 35th anniversary of Street Fighter, so they're joining in on the party. That's fine. That's great. There's cross promotional stuff like that all the time for anniversaries.
And I'm good with it. Yeah. Yeah. And I love Street Fighter. I did.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
I played Street Fighter. Multi kicker again. Chun-Li multi kicker. That's fucking funny.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll just have to see how good she actually is.
Yeah. So that's kind of the card stuff. They did kind of go on to talk about Arena and Jumpstart a little bit and Historic Horizons. I don't think we're going to get into combat because we're really running low on time. I did want to talk about Historic Horizon. We'll bring that up next week after we get some more playing in. I've got some opinions on that. I kind of feel that Historic Horizons almost kind of made it Momir and it's too swingy now. It's like, but in that, well, that'll be next week's combat. But let's go to combat.
Combat phase.
And then my wife called me to dinner, so I have to finish this match. So let's go to... I'm kidding.
Main phase.
All right. So Oh, and Magic's Netflix show is out there, and Brandon Routh is on it, and it looks like Gideon, and it's going to suck. Okay.
Well, you don't know that. You have no idea. I'm actually really looking forward to this.
I think it's going to suck. I really do. Well, but I hope I'm pleasantly surprised on that.
Yeah, I'm really. It's for those who are interested, it's coming out next year. Probably right. Later next year, I would imagine.
Right, it will be. The fact that they lost the Russo brothers tells me something's up.
They probably wanted to take it in a certain direction, and Wizards / Hasbro said no, and then they said,
right.
Okay,
so they probably wanted to take it in a good direction, and Wizards was like, well, no, we want to do it this way.
We'll see. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. If it sucks, then whatever. But I'm looking forward to seeing what they come up with.
Me too. So, second main. I want to update you guys on the Winnabox because we are still going forward with that. We're trying to wrap it up. There's been vacations and stuff going on. This always happens on the summer one. But as things stand right now, we're down to our final, I do believe, final four,
you said five.
Or final three.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me pull the tournament bracket up here. And
I think you said there were five left.
Well, I'll take a look at the bracket. It might be three. I know J-Grow is waiting for... Yeah, so we're down to our final three. So we've got D-Spoons playing HP Wizard. They're trying to get their match in the next day or two. And then they're going to play... Whoever wins that's going to play J-Grow for the box. So very excited about that. And once we do that, we're going to roll right into Historic 100-card Brawl. I was able to challenge somebody with it. So, yay. So I think our next set's going to be 100-card Historic Brawl. Be preparing. So that's where we're at right now. It's either going to be J-Grow, HP Wizard, or D-Soons who's going to win. Finally, the last thing we kind of want to talk about is Mark Rosewater put out on his Tumblr today his Midnight Hunt teaser.
Yes.
So you can find it at his markrosewater.tumblr.com.
His blogatog.
His blogatog. So... he loves to do this before previews begin, and he kind of keeps it, you know, pretty high level. Some of the stuff he talked about, I'm kind of digging. So he's saying three popular mechanics previously seen on Innistrad Return. Well, obviously, that's got to be what? Transform.
Well, it's going to be, you know, we already talked about Flashback.
Right.
There's Transform. There is Morbid. There is Hellbent.
Right.
There is...
I think it's going to be Transform, Flashback, and...
Transform, yeah.
I'm not sure what the other one's going to be. But that's interesting. A new drawback for creature tokens that lets us create them cheaper. And I think that actually goes with two permanents that can double something every turn. I think we're going to see something like a doubling season.
Well, they were talking about... He was talking about a popular reprint of something that had four arts, so it's getting its fifth art.
Would that be doubling season?
It could be Snapcaster Mage.
Oh, God, please let it be Snapcaster Mage. A white card that could potentially draw you a card each turn. I love how he has to tell us, no, we're trying to give things for white. We are aware of this problem. A popular Innistrad card gets reprinted. It's either going to be Snapcaster or it's going to be the land destruction card. A curse that transforms into a creature, a mythic cycle with you may post cost any number of times.
Yeah, you may pay whatever this cost any number of times, which is going to be interesting to see.
Yes. A 4-mana blue aura with you control enchanted creature. So that's cool. That's kind of going old school because usually that's been red lately. A popular tournament card in multiple formats gets reprinted with its fifth piece of art.
That's what I was talking about earlier.
Yeah, I think that's doubling season. I think you're right.
That doesn't have five arts.
No, doesn't?
That only has one or two arts.
How many arts does Snapcaster have?
Snapcaster has four. Thoughtseize, I believe, has a few. There's also Ancient Grudge, so it could be that. Could be Faithless Looting.
I don't think he's going to put Faithless Looting standard. I don't think they want that in standard.
It could,
Snapcaster, though.
My gut's telling me Ancient Grudge.
Okay.
But I would love it if it was Snapcaster Mage. Could be like Delver of Secrets or something like that.
Yeah. But the popular tournament card in multiple formats, Snapcaster is the only one I can think of.
Ancient Grudge was in multiple tournament formats. Delver of Secrets is still huge in Legacy. It was big in Modern, so those count. There's somebody who had broken down a list who it could be. It could be Cryptic Command.
Oh, dear God, no.
Could be Thoughtseize.
Right.
Pithing Needle, Eternal Witness, Meddling Mage, Regrowth, Electrolyze, Rest in Peace, Scavenging Ooze.
Oh, so maybe they're bringing... This card costs X less for each creature you attacked with this turn. What was that? That was an Ixalan mechanic.
I don't think that was it, but I like that he does this every set, where he sort of says, hey, here's some stuff that's happening as the previews come in. Which one was this, or which one was
that? Right, as card name enters the battlefield, note your life total. Put a slime counter on up to one target creature. Creature tokens you control lose all abilities and have base power, toughness 3/3. Each instant and sorcery your card has blank. Instants and sorceries cost you X less to cast, where X is blank's power. Put that many 1/1 counters on blank, then create twice that many 2/2. That's just it. The twice as many. Like, Doubling Season fits into here. Like, it looks like they're trying to find a way to go wide.
Yeah, but, again, it doesn't have enough enough different art to fit the one hint, which doesn't mean that it's not in there. I mean, a reprint of Doubling Season would be great. They could also reprint Parallel Lives. That doesn't have enough art. Procession. Procession wouldn't work. Parallel Lives would, because that's werewolves-y type things.
At the beginning of your end step, if you have exactly 13 life, you win. It's got to be you win the game.
Or lose the game.
Yeah, you may cast any number of the copies without paying their mana cost. And creature types: Hippogriff Spirit, Human Soldier Werewolf, Dragon Egg, Leech Whore, Fungus Whore, Plant Whore, Drake Whore, Demon Dog. Boy, they're really trying to go for the dogs. Another ooze and a vampire noble.
A legendary
ooze and a legendary vampire noble. I'm cool with this. I am cool with this. I think this is good stuff. This is a post-rotation set. I'm cool with this. So,
yeah, this is going to shake things up. I'm looking forward to Thursday. I want to see some of the crazy stuff that they're going to come up with.
Right. So I'm very, very hopeful for this. But I think that's kind of our show, man. Do you got anything else we should go through? I mean, we're already 15 over.
We talked about lots of stuff. Let's get out of here.
Boy, did we. All right, yeah. All right, so as Aramis and I are rolling up our playmats, putting our cards back in their boxes, taking our pizza boxes over to the trash, because damn it, your mother still does not work in this FYE, we want to remind you we have a Twitch channel where we stream all sorts of content. Just look up the Plains Talkers podcast channel on Twitch. You're going to see all the shows we do on both Magic and other geeky games we play. You can also follow me on Twitch at Mindcrime73, where I have started playing DC Universe Online, and for some reason, Farming Simulator 19. Not sure how that happened. In fact, I'll be putting a podcast up in our patron feed. I guessed it on a podcast for Farming Simulator this weekend. I forgot to talk about that. But
yeah. So when does your brain scan results come back for the tumor?
It's not a tumor.
I think it is a tumor.
Yeah, welcome to my nightmare. I made fun of people playing that game too. That's the thing.
Yep. You've become the thing you've most hated.
No, I'm still not playing RuneScape. Put him ting.
Oh, shit. And there's the divorce papers.
Yes. Crazy. I'm Aramis. If you'd rather interact with us more real time, join our Discord.
Oh, I wasn't sure. I thought maybe you had more things to say about Farming Simulator.
I backed away from the mic. You left dead air, my friend. It's like I'm broadcasting. No.
I figured you were going to go plow something, you know? I just wasn't sure.
No, I'm going to get plowed. Totally different.
So, yeah, on that rather art agricultural note, if you'd rather interact with us more real time, you can join our Discord at discord.planeswalkerspodcast.com. And if Twitter is more your speed and you want to plant yourself there, maybe grow some corn to listen to things, you can go to @planeswalkerpod on Twitter.
You know, you're an asshole. Now you're going to play that game, motherfucker. My personal Twitter is @WRBenson. But let's be honest, I'm really on there only to follow the John Deere Company and their new tractors because I got to keep up to date. But, of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/planestalker. We don't have the last S on there because somebody wanted to talk about airplanes. But like and follow our page, and don't forget too, we do have a playcast that we do on Wednesday where we play Paper Commander live. This week is a Nemesis week, so three guys will be going up against me with Sir Gwen. Tune in on all of our channels Wednesdays at 7 Eastern for Commander Craft. We're very excited for that. We're going to have hopefully two games because I imagine they'll beat me quickly. So, Commander Craft, tell your friends.
Yep. And listen, Will, it's fine. It's okay. You don't have to be lonely at farmersonly.com.
I'm fucking muting you.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
So finally, if you want to send us an email and let Benson know which brand of John Deere tractor is the best one to plow his fields. There's three different email addresses you can send it to us. First one is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. We'll both see it, so I know he won't delete it. The second one is will@planestalkerspodcast.com. You can send him that one. He'll delete it, and I won't see it. That's fine. That's okay. Or you can send the really good ones to me, aramis@planestalkerspodcast.com, and I'll make sure that he sees them.
Yeah. And Bama, get him. So on that note, we want to thank you guys for tuning in this week to the Planestalkers Podcast. We will be back on Wednesday with Commander Craft, and either Monday or Tuesday next week. We may or may not be here for Labor Day, but we think we will be with some of the new preview cards you're going to need. So we're very excited for that. For Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thank you for being listeners. Thank you for coming along with us on this ride. And remember to always keep some of your mana untapped because you never know when you'll need it. Take care. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Son of a bitch.